Psalms 103. Everyone open their... Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he cease his anger forever. He has not dwelt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our friends. He is mindful that we are like that. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his work. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, and my soul. Dear Lord, please help us to bless you with all we have in things. Please help us to fear you. Thank you for taking our sins as far as east is from the west. Please help us to learn from what past them has to teach us, and help us to apply it to our lives. Amen.
Thanks, Ben. Plus, Elijah in prayer, he called me, he's feeling sick tonight, so that's why he's not here. So, okay. Open your Bible to Jude. Okay, Jude, we'll be on verse 21 tonight, but let's just start reading from verse 1. Everyone else, follow along here. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turned the grace of our Lord God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and will run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots on your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons, who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal salvation." Okay, so if we remember from last week, we talked about how these people were sensual persons. They cause divisions. They do not have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. In other words, they are not Christians. These apostates. Apostate is one who turns from God. But they do not have the Spirit living inside of them as the believer does. Jude tells them, verse 20, "But you, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." We talked about this last week. As Christians, this is something that we must be doing. It's not an option. If we're going to continue to grow, if you remember I drew on the board over there, an upward pattern, that should be the Christian's lifestyle. Continue growth to be like Christ. How do we do that? By reading the Word of God and by praying. Did anyone here spend time in prayer this week? Did you talk to your parents and say, "Look, Mom or Dad, I need to find a time and a place where I can have it quiet so that I can spend time in prayer. And not just a, dear God, thanks for this food and keeping me safe, amen. That was a good talk to God." Not like that. Right now, yes, we do pray for our meals and throughout the day we should pray, but we need to have a time set aside where you can spend half an hour or an hour, whatever, praying to God, crying out to God, telling Him your issues, your problems, and asking Him for help, just praising Him. That's what we do in our prayer. This is why Jude says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So, verse 21 then says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the love of God. We have an imperative here. Imperative is given here with urgency to keep ourselves in the love of God. In verse 1, we were told that we are preserved, are kept in Christ. In verse 6, we read that some angels did not keep their proper domain. So we find how God is sovereign in all things, yet there is human responsibility. And so as Christians, we have a duty to keep yourselves and the love of God. Now, how does that work? How does the sovereignty of God work, but yet there's still human responsibility? This is why God is so amazing. But we find an example of that in Philippians 2. If you want to turn there real quick, and then we'll turn right back. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 is the perfect example of how this works. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we are told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh man, it's all up to me. Is it? It is God who works in you to do both do and to will for his good pleasure. So back to Jude, then we find here that this is an imperative. This is important. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We read how the angels did not keep their proper domain. They turned away from their place that they were supposed to be. They turned from God. They did not keep that urgency. They left and turned away, and they have their doom. They have a spot reserved for them in outer darkness, we read. But he's telling believers, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. John Calvin says this, he has made love as it were the guardian and the ruler of our life. Not that he might set it in opposition to the grace of God, but that it is the right course of our calling when we make progress in love. That is the calling for every single believer. What's the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Who can tell me? Riley? Okay. And the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. Top two right there. Of course, God has got to be number one. He's on top. He should have the ultimate. Everything that we have should be devoted to God. Our love should be so great for God. High above anything else. High above your friends. High above your own family. For if you're married, like me and Carol and Linda, more than we love our spouses. Our love for God should be much greater than anything here on earth. We understand that, right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, all of your strength. That means everything. That's how much we should love God. When we wake up in the morning, we should say, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me another night, for keeping me safe, for giving me another day here. God should consume our thoughts all day long. God should always be on our minds. That's how much we should love Him. And if we don't, then there's a problem. Anything that dethrones God from our hearts becomes an idol. And that is not to be. So that is our right call. That is our right course. It is our calling to love God and to love each other. Okay? So we should be progressing in our love. Love to God, love to each other. And realizing that we have a love from God that is so amazing. Right? 1 John 3, behold how we are blessed by God, right? Behold, he says, what manner the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. That is an amazing love. That you and I are even called children of God. That God Almighty would be my Father, your Father. That is an amazing love. There are so many things in this world that entice us to apostasy, to turn from God. As we've seen many examples in Jude, over and over he's given us examples of why people have turned from God. And we see what awaits every single one of them, haven't we? Do we want to be in any of their shoes? No. We've seen how they've turned from God, and we've seen the destruction that's come upon them, and that's going to come upon all who turn from God. So we don't want to walk that course. Yet we walk out these doors and we live in this sinful world, and there's so many things. Every single day we wake up, there's things that entice us to turn from God. Just come over here. Just do this. And it's not even people around us, it's our own flesh. We're at war with our own flesh. Our own flesh is enticing us. Whatever it might be, there's things enticing us. All of you. And me. I fight that same battle that you fight every single day. And the flesh is saying, that's good. Doesn't it? I want to do that. I want to go there. You don't need God so much. He'll forgive you. Go ahead and keep doing this. And so we realize that, hey, there are these things everywhere that entice us to turn from God. Right? It reminds me of the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Verse 3 says this of that song, Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. I think that says it all right there. Daily we're prone to wander away from God. To wander off like a lost sheep. There's the great shepherd. And we want to wander off over here. Out of safety. Into harm, where lions await and wolves await, and they want to take you apart and have you for dinner. But that's sometimes what it is like for us. We want to wander away. We're prone to leave the God that we love, the very God who gives us breath. We want to leave Him. We want to abandon Him. And so like this song, we should say, Lord, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Make it forever yours. Keep me yours. We are a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be like the goodness. Bind my wandering heart to Thee, O God. For my heart does wander. And so there are many things out there that entice us. And if, I have to say, you know, sometimes we bring that upon ourselves with the things that we watch, with the things that we listen to, with the friends that we have around us. We've already, maybe, you know, I think I said that I was going to teach on that at least twice a year about the friends that we keep around us. And I remind you all the time, ask yourself, with the friends that you keep around you, do they truly care about your eternity? And if so, how do they impact that? Do they truly care about where you spend eternity? It's either yes or no. And if it's a no, they are impacting your eternity. And if it's a yes, then they're keeping you accountable to the Word of God. Say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. Or our parents told us not to go see this movie. Or we shouldn't be cutting class. Or whatever. That's a true friend. Keeping you accountable to the Word of God. Loving you enough to say, this is not right. Because I love you. Because you're my brother, you're my sister. I'm going to tell you. That's a true friend. That's a true friend who really cares about where you spend eternity. How does this happen? By the hearkening diligently to His voice in the Scriptures, believing heartily His declarations, and cheerfully, steadfastly, and perseveringly obeying His commands. This is how we keep ourselves in the love of God. Take heed to what we read and what we hear. John 15:9-11, you don't have to turn there. This is Christ speaking. He says, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. How is our joy full? When we're obedient to God. And I have to say that, you know, not that we're looking for feel-goods, but it feels good when we're obedient to God. Because we don't have to say, oh man, I'm struggling with sin here. And it feels good when we're obedient. We want to please our Father, right? Just like in any humanistic way. It feels good when Daddy's proud of something that we did. Think about when you were a little kid, or even now, and you wanted to please your mom or dad. And they were like, oh, son, that was a good job. You felt good, didn't it? Same thing. We should want to please our Father in everything that we do. We should want to please our Heavenly Father. And so listen to this. He says, as the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. Now listen to what Jesus says here. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. There's human responsibility right there. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a requirement here. That's why it's an imperative. Something that, as Christians, just because you get saved, because God saved you, it doesn't mean you go lay on your Christian couch and do nothing. You have duties. You have responsibilities as a Christian. Here is to keep yourself in the love of God. And then your joy is full. Our joy is full when we are obedient to Him. 1 John 2:5 says that whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. How? Because we are obedient to Him. Whoever keeps His word. How do you build yourselves up in your most holy faith? By reading your Bibles. How do you keep His word? By knowing what's in the Bible. Right? You don't know how to keep His word unless you're reading your Bible. So you know what's required of you. Yeah, it's good to come to church and hear the Word of God taught to you. That's another way, of course. Come together for corporate worship to hear the Word of God. But again, you, on your own, you have to have knowledge in your Bible. Now he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want us to understand that we keep ourselves in the love of God, that is, obedient to Him, obedience to God is worth it. That's a good thing. For there is hope that is coming. It's not like, oh, God wants me to be obedient to Him and stay in His love and I'm doing my best, but then there's no hope. We have a hope. We have a great hope. We have a blessed hope. There's a hope that is coming. It is near. Despite how tough it is at times, we watch and we anticipate His coming. Yes, it is very hard to be a Christian. If you went to church or you watched someone on TV and they told you that becoming a Christian meant that it was going to be an easy life and that you could lay on your Christian couch, you were deceived. This is why Jesus says, count the cost. because it will be the toughest thing you will have ever done. To walk as a Christian means that you will be hated by the world. Why? Because they hated him. And so they will hate you. Here in America, we're kind of spoiled. So we can't even really comprehend that because we're so spoiled here. But there are plenty of countries where Christians are killed for their faith. If they're caught with a Bible, they're in trouble. We need to realize that. Now, is persecution going to come here in America? I think so. I don't know how far off. I don't know how soon, but I look at this country and I see it on a downward spiral. I see it getting more wicked and more sinful and more evil. All you got to do is watch the news. All you got to do is see what's on TV. All you got to do is listen to how people talk and how people treat each other. Downward. And so those who choose to continue to be faithful in the Lord, I've got to believe that persecution is coming their way. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the next 20, 30 years as you're older and you're a Christian and persecution comes your way? Will you turn? Will you turn because it got too tough? Or will you remain faithful? Jesus says, blessed is the one who's persecuted for my name's sake. He says, blessed is the one who is killed for my name's sake. What an honor. What an honor to be able to... What an honor to be persecuted for my Savior. That's a good thing. See, too many times we hear on TV or we attend a church and it says, oh, you're going to be a Christian, it's going to be smooth sailing, everything's going to be good, you're going to be rich and healthy, and everyone's going to be a Christian if that's what a Christian's like. But that's not what we find here. We're never promised that it's going to be easy. It's the opposite. It's going to be hard. And so for me, if I'm going to school and people are making fun of me because I'm a Christian and I don't cuss and I don't do this or that, good. What an honor to be persecuted for your Savior. Think about what He's done for you. All the persecution that comes your way, whether it's by words, by mocking, that's nothing to how blessed you will be for all eternity. Even if one is persecuted physically and tortured, and I've said it before, I mean, we even hear, in, you know, with the war going on, and sometimes our soldiers are captured. And sometimes Christians are captured in these countries. And we hear that they're beheaded. And it's a little gruesome, but it's not like a chop and that's it. And it's over like that. Oh, that's just done like that. That's not what it is. They go through a pretty gruesome beheading. And I'll just leave it at that. But what would we do? As a Christian, right now, what would you do? The point is, look, being a Christian is not easy. And expect persecution. We must expect persecution. And I'm telling you, that is a good thing. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed if you get made fun of at school. If you go to public school and you get made fun of because you're a Christian, don't be embarrassed. Say, you know what? This is a good thing. I don't care what they say about me because I'm a Christian. I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, blessed is my namesake because I'm being persecuted for my Savior. So, I understand that I was off the track a little bit, but he says here, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternity, through eternal life. There is a hope that is coming. It's tough. It's very tough. Sometimes we want to give up, but don't. Hang on. Cling to your Savior, for there is a hope that's coming. And that is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Him coming back for us is mercy. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul there in his letter to Titus calls it a blessed hope. That's what it is. A blessed hope. I pulled out my notes from when I taught on that passage. It's almost a year ago. And it said this. As children of God, we have one thing that we should be longing for, and that is being with our God and worshiping Him for all eternity. With our new glorified bodies, looking and waiting for when we don't have to struggle with our sin anymore, nor suffer physically, nor crying, nor death, no longer. What a hope that is to come. What a hope we have, not just a hope, but a blessed hope. Blessed is equivalent to having God's kingdom within one's heart. The word makarios, blessed, is the one who is in the world as we are, one who is in the world yet independent of the world. His satisfaction comes from God and not from the world. And that's what we have. We have this anticipation. We're looking. We're watching for when our Savior appears. And that is our blessed hope. Because that's when we say, that is a good day for those who have been faithful and obedient to God. For the rest, it's a scary day. It's a scary day. But for us, that is the mercy of our Lord. And I like that He calls it mercy there. I like that He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord. Because I think about that. And what mercy that is, that He comes back to redeem us, to take us. And then we'll have glorified bodies. I don't have to struggle with my sin any longer. Because I hate it. I hate wrestling with my sin every single day. And I hate it when I blow it. You know why? Because I want to please my Father. So I hate it when I sin against Him. And so I look forward to that blessed day that comes. And I don't have to struggle with my sin anymore. And then for all eternity, I can worship my Father. I can be with my Savior. And worship Him forever. I don't have to cry anymore. I won't be sad anymore. I won't blow it anymore. So you see how that's mercy? That is mercy. MacArthur writes, on that great future day, all of us who have trusted in Him will experience Christ's final mercy and enjoy the fullness of eternal life as we experience the resurrection and glorification of our bodies. For verses 20 and 21, all three of these modifying verbs are present tense. What am I talking about? Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. All three of these modifying verbs are present tense participle, indicating that the actions they name should be continuously characterizing our lifestyle. So, how we live, these three things should be characterized in our lifestyle. We should be progressing in them, which is how we build ourselves up. In order to remain in the love of God and to survive in these last days of great apostasy, we should be continually studying the Scriptures, praying in the Spirit, and expectantly looking for the return of Christ. Those three things. I think I messed it up earlier. Those three things. Studying the Scriptures. Guys, study your Bible. Please. Study your Bibles. When I look at you, when I hear your name, I want to say, oh, that young man, that young lady, that's a student of the Word right there. He knows his Bible. She knows her Bible. Praise God that she or he is diligent in that. Same thing for prayer. That young man, that young lady, they are prayer warriors. They pray. They pray for me. They pray for each other. They pray. And they're looking for the return of Christ with me. With me, they're watching, anticipating, looking for that blessed day. Gracious God, help us. Help us, O God. Work in us to be faithful in these things. Keep your word. Study your word. To hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. To keep your commandments. And we would delight in them. It's a joy and delight to keep your commandments. It should be. Help us to be students of the Word. Help us to be have a strong prayer life. And we do look, oh God, we long for that day that you come for us. What a blessed day that will be when we shall see our King. We love you, and we praise you, we worship you, and we realize, we understand how merciful that will be when you come for us to redeem us, to take us. So I pray, O God, that we will be forever reminded that as we have studied these Scriptures, these past two Scriptures, 20 and 21, the last 2 weeks, that we need to be convicted in these things, that we need to be reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, meditating upon what we read, asking God to help us to understand what we read. Lord, may it not be said of us that our Bibles are on the shelves collecting dust. But let it be said of us that we are students of the Word of God. And let it be said of us that we have strong prayer lives. That we devote a time daily to cry out to you. And let it be said of us that together as one, we are looking and watching for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.